Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. And it is Wednesday. That is the 21st of August. And as we fly through August, the convention is nearing its completion tomorrow. But there's still some interesting speeches tonight. And I actually am interested to hear how Bill Clinton is doing in all of this. Everybody else has been phenomenal. And I know he doesn't want to look worse than everyone else. He wants to look right up there, and I think he'll try. He's certainly capable of it. And I know sometimes he's hoarse and sometimes he's, you know, because he's got allergies and all of that business. But hopefully he'll be good. And I know that so far this has been an unbelievable convention. And when I say that, it's so interesting because when you think about it, over the years, these conventions have had so little going on. Really, they have. Except for if you go back to when Ted Kennedy tried to take the nomination away from Jimmy Carter. So that was an interesting time, and the speeches were pretty intense. And Kennedy was certainly one of the best I ever saw, and he still lost. But last night, again, the speeches, just outstanding. First of all, I wondered what would come from Doug Emhoff. And he was very poised and extremely well-spoken and on top of all of his words, just did a great job, really told the story he wanted to tell about him and Kamala. It was just the right thing. He just struck the perfect note. And so that was obviously the Doug Emhoff speech. That was great. But nothing compares to the Obamas. Michelle was as good as you could get. And Barack Obama was as good as Michelle. So they really made that convention last night just tremendous. I know that I really enjoyed it. And I can tell you that some of those speeches where people just get up there and blah, 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 I just sort of tune out. Now, I know some of them were not bad, but not bad. You know, I've heard everything. We've all heard everything. So you got to be good to get our attention at this point. And Emhoff got my attention in a different way than the Obamas, for sure. But he told a story that was interesting. Beyond that, Michelle and Barack told a story about America that really needs to be told all the time. But they also did something else, and this was really good. They explained not how this Kamala phenomenon has occurred, but they explained that it has occurred, and that it is a phenomenon, and that it is taking off. And they use the words which I've been using, and that's electrified. Other people have used those too. But look, that's what's happening here. The country is on fire for Kamala Harris. And there's no way in a million years that you'll ever figure out exactly why this happened. I mean, we can explain certainly that, you know, Joe Biden dropped out and people wanted a better choice, and the better choice made sense to be Kamala because she needed to be able to control the money, and so those were practical issues. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about practical issues. We're talking about a movement, a mass movement in the Democratic Party, which is so unusual. And I say unusual because it certainly wasn't intended. I mean, this isn't like Donald Trump trying to get people to bow down to him. All Kamala's tried to do is win an election. But people have just been inspired. And I don't even know that everybody can say why. I can't tell you why. I mean, I've said good things about her. I've said that she's got a very excellent speaking manner, that her words, her language, it all hits the right notes perfectly. But here's the thing. It's more than that. Obviously, people wanted somebody younger than Joe Biden. They wanted somebody that would be acceptable. But they've gotten a lot more than acceptable. They've gotten a country that has been dragged into this in an inspired way that has turned these poll numbers completely upside down from where they were 1 month ago, because that's where all this started. 1 month ago, that's when Joe Biden made the announcement. And from that point on, this has just become a fabulous momentum push for Democrats. And like I say, you couldn't explain it if you sat here for 5 hours and kept trying. Because it's just something, yeah, you know, they say the word organic, but that is true. And it's a natural force that has just risen up in the Democratic Party. It's tapped into, I guess, a gigantic desire by the party to get rid of Donald Trump once and for all, to get him out of our faces, out of our minds, just out of here. We don't want to spend every day analyzing what is wrong with a maniac. But I'd like you to listen to a maniac. Why not? It's what this whole thing's all about. Joe, you want to run that? Okay, we're coming right up here. This is Donald Trump.
And just about every law enforcement group in the country has endorsed us, as you probably have heard. And there's a reason for that, because I believe in law enforcement. The other group doesn't. But you can't walk across the street to get a loaf of bread. You get shot, and you get mugged, you get raped. We will stop the plunder, rape, slaughter, and destruction of our American suburbs. I keep the suburbs safe. I stopped low-income towers from rising right alongside of their house. And I'm keeping the illegal aliens away from the suburb. In 2019, they had zero. Now you have thousands of terrorists coming into our country. Thousands of terrorists. These are the people that blew up the World Trade Center. Bad things will happen. They don't arrest people anymore. And they shouldn't arrest people for saying the election was rigged, but they like that. They go after guys like me, but they don't go after people that kill people.
Okay, that's good, of course. So that was about 1.5 minutes of Donald lying. There wasn't one word of truth in one thing that he said in that minute and a half. Terrorists are coming across the border. Death everywhere. You go out to buy a loaf of bread and you're raped. Nobody believes this. In fact, this has raised the real question, which is whether Donald Trump needs serious medical attention. I mean, there's something wrong with that. There wasn't one word. I mean, I listened to see if there was one thing. There was nothing that he said that was true. All this death and destruction, it's made up. Last night at the convention, they talked about one of the things that I say all the time. Crime in the United States is at a 50-year low. 50-year low. And this guy is talking about getting raped if you go to get a loaf of bread. Now, I wouldn't even, and I shouldn't even, say it again, except that I have to tell you that it's so outrageously ridiculous. There isn't even a story of somebody going out to get a loaf of bread and being raped. Not even one story. You know, normally you could say, oh, well, maybe there was this person that went out to get a loaf of bread and they were raped. So then Donald repeats it over and over. No, there isn't one person that we know of from the news, not one, who has gone out to get a loaf of bread and was raped. Not one. Now, you could say, Kasin, why are you saying this? Why are you repeating it? He didn't mean it. What do you mean he didn't mean it? Why would he say it if he didn't mean it? Really? Why would he use that language and tell such insane stories if he didn't mean it? He hasn't said he didn't mean it. He says he means it. But I'm just telling you that there are Trump apologists who will say, oh, he didn't mean it. He was kidding. I mean, what kind of a joke is that? That's kidding? Kidding about going out to get a loaf of bread and being raped? That's mental illness. Total mental illness. And the terrorist story, I mean, listen to what he said. I'm not going to repeat it here. I'm not going to play it again. But he did say that the terrorists are all coming over the border to do exactly what they did on 9/11. You know none of that's happening. And you know that the government has not even said, not once, somebody came across the border, they were trying to do a 9/11, and we grabbed the guy. So it's not even one. This isn't even an anecdote. This is lunacy that's made up out of his head. That's what's ridiculous. Put that up against what happened last night at the convention, or even the night before as well. None of it makes any sense. Briefly, very briefly, when Hillary Clinton was talking about the fact that Donald is a convicted felon, which he is, I mean, again, you know, Donald just lies. But if you say that Donald is a convicted felon, well, that's not a lie. He is a convicted felon. He's got 34 felony counts for which he was found guilty by a jury. That happens in the United States when you go to trial, when there's evidence, and the jury deliberates, and they come back, and then they've got a verdict. And if you say, well, that man's a criminal, okay, that man is a criminal. He is convicted. He's going to be sentenced on September 18th. The man is a criminal. So if you say it, well, you're just saying what's true. Now, when she said it pretty cleverly, actually. But when she said it, the entire convention erupted in lock them up. Now, Hillary didn't say lock them up, and Hillary didn't encourage it. She didn't encourage them to stop either. I noticed it. She let them go for a minute, maybe a half a minute, and then they moved on. But here's the thing. The man is a criminal. And beyond being a criminal, he is clearly mentally ill. Because talking about people getting raped when they buy a loaf of bread doesn't make any sense. And talking about people being terrorists and coming to do evil things in the United States when there isn't the slightest even thought that anybody was doing that, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I mentioned an article in the New York Times that I read, I guess it was a weekend ago. It's a long article. When I read it, I thought to myself, how many people are going to read through this entire article? Probably almost no one. I don't know. Maybe some. I hope they did. It was a great article. And it was about this family that left Central America and traveled thousands of miles to the United States. All the difficulties that they faced along the way, and what happened to them when they got to the United States. One of the people in the group, the father actually, got arrested and had some problems. Not for anything serious at all, but he just was sort of in the wrong place at the wrong time and ended up in the system, and that wasn't good. But nevertheless, the family was pushing forward to find a way to fit into the United States, and they had gone thousands of miles. It took them a long time. This wasn't something they did in 2 weeks. It took them more than a year. They wanted to be here more than anything, more than life, to tell you the truth. They wanted to be here. And they got here, and they absolutely were doing the right thing. And unfortunately, the father got into a little trouble, but nothing violent, nothing extraordinary. He just got picked up by the system and dragged along, and it was not good for him. And then there were questions about whether he would be deported or what would happen. I mean, he was in trouble. This was not a story that ended with, yes, everything was perfect and the family is on its way to greatness. Nothing like that. It was just understanding the pressures that people face when they walk thousands of miles for freedom, for their life. And this is really what our whole policy down at the border is all about anyway, which is, you know, desperate people trying to get away from murder and mayhem, not that they create, but that people create against them. And then they try to get in here so that they can find peace. And that's what the story was about this family. And it was lengthy. It was well worth reading. You can go back and find it just from what I said. You'd find it in the New York Times, just, you know, immigrant trekking thousands of miles. Put that in and you'll find it. It's a great story, and there aren't a lot of them told. But see, here's the thing. That's an anecdote that doesn't represent somebody that succeeded in all of this. We don't know. It's left up in the air. We don't know how they'll do. We don't know if they'll succeed here. We don't know if they'll avoid deportation of the father. We don't know any of it. All we know is that they made it here, and they're trying. We know that much. Okay, so Greg says, I guess you forgot about the illegal that attacked a jogger and her boyfriend, raping her, or the illegal that was deported three times, attacked police in New York. No, I didn't forget any of that. In fact, I have said, and I said tonight, that there are individual stories that you can find. And that's the whole point. You can find one. You can't find 100. You can't find 1,000. You can't even find 12. You can't even find 10. You got one. And people repeat it over and over again. But we know that among all of these people who do come across the border, that the total amount of crime committed by them is practically nothing. You got your guy here. That's good. You got one. I think there was a woman who was attacked by somebody, too. You know, there are people attacked. By the way, you didn't say she was raped when she went out for a loaf of bread. And by the way, that isn't what Donald was talking about anyway. Donald was talking about Americans who go out to get a loaf of bread and get raped. You know, I've bought a lot of bread. I have not been raped. I've known women who have bought a lot of bread, and I haven't known one who was raped. Maybe you know somebody, Greg. I don't know. You could tell me. But if you do, give me their name and address. I want to call them. But, you know, like you said, that shouldn't happen in the first place. Well, you're right. Crime shouldn't happen. Believe me, when I go into Walmart to buy things, and the things I want to buy are locked up in cabinets, and the people at Walmart tell me that the reason is because people come in there and steal their items right off the shelf. And we've talked about it, and I have to tell you that I agree with you, Greg. Those Americans who are stealing from Walmart need to stop. It would be a good thing if they would stop. These aren't immigrants. Immigrants aren't up here in St. Louis running wild through Walmart, stealing off the shelves so that they have to lock everything up. That's Americans. And I know it is because I asked them in the store, and they all said, no, it's not anybody from anywhere. It's Americans. There's a lot of kids. But not only kids, but a lot of kids. And, you know, that's why crime is dropping. Because this country is growing old. And you know it is. It's growing old because, well, you'll see it tonight. Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is 78 years old. Hard to believe. He was a baby when he burst onto the scene in 1992. He looked like a little kid. But you know what happens. The presidency makes people very old. It's a very high-pressure job. And you know, you sit around and you think, I wonder how people come around to the decision that they want to be president of the United States when they see that after 8 years, people that walk in looking great come out looking beat to hell. Now, that's a fact. We all know it. It's happened over and over again. Some people have said it didn't happen to Donald because he didn't care what was going on in the first place, didn't know what was going on, and felt none of the pressure. I think that's probably an appropriate conclusion. He looked terrible going in, and he looked terrible coming out. And that's the guy who walks around calling everybody names. Greg says, no license, no green card, no right to be here legally. Yeah, well, if you don't give them a license and you don't give them a green card and you don't give them a right to be here legally, then I guess they're illegal. But you see, what you can do is if you send those kids down to the border, you know, the million high school kids, sort of an American Peace Corps, you send them down to the border and you hook them up with a family, and they teach the family how to live here in the United States, how to get a green card, how to get a Social Security card, how to apply for a job, how to go to a school in order to learn English, all the things that this student could do. And believe me, you think you're helping those immigrants? You are. But you're really helping the people who would be down there being mentors, because there is research out of control that tells us that when young people do this, when they help others, it just has a profound impact on their lives. Not just immediate, forever. It's really a valuable experience. And we could do it. We could do it if we wanted to. Now, we know that Kamala says, and this is where you lose all credibility, as my little brother Les would say. Kamala says if she gets that border bill that was written by Senator Lankford, conservative Republican, and bought into by all the Democrats, and then brought to the Senate to be passed and then signed by Joe Biden. Well, Donald Trump jumped in and said, no, don't do it. Because if you do it, it's going to take away an issue from me. I need that issue for this election. I need to use immigration against Democrats. So I need you to kill the bill. Let them come across the border. In fact, I hope more do come across, so that I can beat Joe Biden over the head. Now, as it turns out, it's not Joe Biden. And what has Kamala said? She said, look, this is what Donald did. He killed the bill, but you elect me president, pass that bill, and I'll sign it right away. So you know what's going on here. You know there's a game. The game is, how do you make Democrats look terrible? Well, to me, it's not even a question of looking terrible, because I'd like those people to come across the border. But, you know, when I say it, and I say it intentionally this way, open the border and let them come across. Everybody, bring them in. But see, you know, that's really not what I'm exactly saying. I'm saying let these people get vetted at the border. You can have immigration officials. You can have assistance from these young people that I keep saying should go down there to work the border. Everybody could work together, and you would know everyone that's coming in. You'd have a complete list of each person, every family, as they come across, where they're from, what they're doing here, why they left, how far they went, did they walk, did they, you know, were they transported by somebody? I mean, we could find out everything. And then let these people in and help them to become great citizens of the United States. Now, this is even better, Greg. This is a good one. So this is where you're doing me a favor. You're making my point so beautifully. Listen to what he says. How did Trump kill the bill? He's not even in office. I guess you are with Trump. That's a Trump game, if I ever heard one. Because look what you're doing. How did Trump kill the bill? He just picked up the phone and told everybody that he knew in the Senate and the House, don't pass it. And they, being as obsequious as they are, which I've continually used that word, it's such a good word, look it up, it's so good. As obsequious as they are, they do whatever he says. So he says kill the bill, so they just say, okay, it's over, no bill. Even Lankford, who wrote the bill, was against it by the time he was done because Donald said no bill. So how did he do it? I just told you how he did it. Now, you can look around like you don't know what I'm talking about, or you can put your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 la. But people know what this is about. They know what he did, and they know why he did it. So this is an attempt, first of all, to destroy the lives of people who come here from other countries with the best intentions in mind. How do I know they're the best intentions? Because there's research on top of research that's been done on these people. And it all finds the same thing. Well over 90% come here to do the right thing, get a job, find a place to live, take care of their family, often send money back to their homes so that they can get more people out into the United States. And what are we afraid of? I'll tell you what they're afraid of. They're afraid that somebody's going to come from Puerto Rico, like AOC, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, that somebody's going to come, some Hispanic, is going to come from Puerto Rico, is going to turn out to be a political star in America, and is going to, in 2032, at the age of 42 years old, run for president of the United States after Kamala serves for 8 years. That's what I think will happen. And you know what? She's a star. Now, I believe it's actually her family that came here, but what's the difference? This is the whole point. People come here in order to take advantage of this great opportunity that we provide for everybody. It's what Kamala Harris is saying, that she wants an opportunity economy. Now, here's a thing from DRC saying that there's over 800,000 undocumented minors. And you know what? I don't know if there are 800,000 or not. I don't know. But I know this. They're not doing anything to bother you. Nothing at all. Zero. They're not raping people who go to the store to buy bread. There isn't one story about that. Donald tells that story, but there is no story. It never happened. So, you know, you can say that there are 800,000 or you could say there are 8 million. Make them legal. Give them some sort of temporary card to live here and to operate here for their parents to get driver's licenses. Take care of them. Yeah, and if you're saying, which now you're saying, oh, it's okay, these missing children are being trafficked or raped. You don't know who's being trafficked or raped. And as far as we know, it was Donald Trump who was separating children from their families. And are they still separated? Maybe so. So you've got a criminal that is separating children from their families. And by the way, that's an accurate statement. He is a criminal. We know, I started this off by saying, he is a convicted felon on 34 counts. If you call somebody a criminal and they're a criminal, it doesn't have to be because of everything that could have been done by a criminal. This man is a criminal. And listen, if he were anybody else acting this way, he'd be in jail. So he's a criminal. So this criminal who has separated families, children from their parents, well, that's a problem. Obama did it. Let me tell you something. The Democrats have done too much to pander to the Republican desires to hurt people from other countries. So that is true. Obama has done too much. Frankly, Joe Biden did too much. And AOC has said as much. She said it. The Democratic Party has pandered to the lowest common denominator of people who want to destroy the lives of immigrants from other countries who have done nothing to harm anybody. Nothing. Yeah, you could find somebody. You could find somebody that did it. And then as far as trying to prove that Barack Obama did something wrong, you don't have to prove it to me. I love Barack Obama, but he's made some mistakes. And I have to tell you that if Kamala Harris signs that bill, the one that Donald killed, that would be a bad thing for me. Now, I wouldn't throw her out. I wouldn't call her names. But I'd be disappointed because I want these people to come to the United States. I want them to come here, and I want them to stay here. I heard Ronald Reagan say it, and I'll tell you something. If Ronald Reagan can say it, then I guess I can say it. I've said it anyway. I said it for a long time. But now I got Reagan on my side. Okay, that's good. No, really. What are you afraid of? The crime that's committed here in the United States is committed by Americans, by American citizens. You want me to get a list of all the American citizens who have committed crimes and what they are? I mean, do I have to do that? I mean, I'm not going to do it, but is that what I have to do to satisfy you so that you know that they are Americans? So why don't you get on here and write that? Why don't you write on here, deport Americans, bring us more immigrants? Why aren't you saying that? Let's get rid of these Americans. By the way, they're mostly white. You want them? deported? Let's deport all the white people. Come on. You see how ridiculous this is? It's insane. And that's why I say Donald is insane. I think the truth is he needs a good dinner. And he can get it at Wendy's. All he's got to do is get those Secret Service people together and take a ride down Chesterfield Airport Road to 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And it might just be as simple as that. It might be that if we feed his brain the best food on the planet, he might recover. Probably not. But maybe. You could try it. So, you know, he could think about whether he wants wings, smoked meats, patty melts, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, all kinds of great food, salads, pizza, great drinks. I'll go to work there myself and I'll serve him all kinds of iced tea and everything. I mean, we'll just keep feeding them. Keep it up. Don't even need to take them to Defiance. We can just blow them up here in Wendy's. Just feed them so much that, you know, they got to take them off to the hospital. But he would love the food. I mean, the food at Wendy's is the best. So, you know, might as well do it with the best. Anyway, enough of Donald. Here's the thing. Go to Wendy's. Get that great food. Think about those baby back ribs. Excellent. Onion rings. Unbelievable. And then do it all over again in Defiance. Because it's the same great food in Defiance, Missouri. And that is Wendy's. Now, if you're looking for jewelry, you go to 4506 Hampton, and that's Jewels on Hampton, and they have Jewels Unlimited. Cases filled with jewelry. It's amazing. And it's also nicely priced and just nice jewelry. You'll like it. Everybody loves it. And they love Al because he runs a great business. So you go to 4506 Hampton. You can buy jewelry. You can buy and sell. You can trade with him. Jewelry and coins. He does all that. And then when it's all said and done, he'll even fix your watch. That's Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis. Now, great clothes. And you know, night after night, I come in here dressed nice. Now, it's true that you don't see my brand new jeans that I bought. You don't see those. But see, at the St. Louis Suit Company, they told me, that's fine. That's fashionable. You wear nice new jeans. And you wear a suit coat or a sport coat with a nice tie and a nice shirt. And with my Chucks, I'm just a fashionable guy. And you can be the same. Just go and ask. They'll tell you everything. And if you're colorblind like I am, they'll even help you with the colors. But what they really do is they give you those ties for $5. Although I should say they give you the ties because $5 is really free. So, St. Louis Suit Company, get the ties, get the suits, shoes, shirts, and overcoats. I can't even say anymore what you're going to pay for them because it's going to be cold soon. And the guys at the St. Louis Suit Company are going to sell those overcoats at good prices. Now, I say good prices. Not as good as they were, but good. St. Louis Suit Company, that's on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton for 30 years. DRC asks, Hey, Mark, another topic. What's your thought on the job numbers that just were released and the revision, which corrected about 818,000 jobs, overestimated some of those jobs? Well, first of all, you know, I've read all this, DRC and Greg and everybody else. I've read all this, and they do indicate that this is a common occurrence. Now, you're going to say, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. Okay, blah, blah, blah. But it is common for this to happen. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the number of jobs that increased over this period of time was still enormous and higher than what was produced by Donald Trump prior to COVID. So, you know, you can sit here and think up all kinds of issues if you like. I can tell you right now that Barron's has for years said that when you have numbers that are presented to the public and they are adjusted numbers. Let me tell you something about adjustments. The adjustments are sort of like saying that it's snowing in July because there are adjustments that aren't real. They're based on theories and they're based on assumptions. I understand all that. I mean, this has been going on forever. This is not a new issue. This is very old. And I do think that it would be better to just tell us what the numbers are. But I just have to tell you that the government seasonally adjusts these things. Okay. So you're going to get numbers that tell you that it's snowing in July. That's just what you're going to get. And that's what they're going to give you, and they've given it to you forever. I've gone to meetings at the Federal Reserve where their economists explain some of the things that they do. And I remember one economist showed a graph of every projection made by the Fed, and not one hit the line. They were above the line. They were below the line. They didn't hit the line. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm not saying that they're not excellent economists. They really are. There's some things that you just can't figure. Now, if you did it straightforward, maybe we would figure it better. But I can tell you this. The Democrats have historically provided solutions to economic problems that have been created during Republican administrations. Now, I could give you the best example of all of that, and I don't know what you're going to say, but obviously, Herbert Hoover presided over total chaos. Even Herbert Hoover tried to feed some people. But in the end, Herbert Hoover's Republican administration was bailed out by the New Deal created by Franklin Roosevelt. And listen, in 2024, there are still people walking around who despise Franklin Roosevelt. This is all part of the culture wars. It's all part of this nonsense where both J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are running around pointing at people and saying they're communists. I mean, that was 1950, 52, 53. Finally, it ended in 54 because they just sort of blew out. It just got too big and then it just dissipated. Because we deposited Joe McCarthy on the ash heap of history where he belonged And that's exactly where we're going to put Donald Trump. And I promise you we are. He's going there. Now, you may not feel anything about it, but believe me, he has hurt people in this country really beyond what has been reported. Eisenhower's jobs program in the highway interstate system, and you're saying that did what? Because let me tell you something. It did a lot. It's exactly why I say that we need to go out right now and build a high-speed rail system that crisscrosses the United States. At first, it would be experimental in the 400-mile-an-hour range, but by the time it was done, we'd have this hypersonic business, and it would be going 700 miles an hour, and it would change our lives in this country. It is a great idea, and it would put engineers to work. It would put workers out there doing jobs. Of course, we'd have robots and all this AI baked into it, too. It doesn't matter. It would be great for the country. So, yes, Eisenhower's highway program was phenomenal, and it is exactly why we should build out a multi-trillion dollar high-speed rail system that would be better than anything in the rest of the world. Now you'll write on here one of two things. Either you'll write on here that you hate the high-speed rail. Okay, I get it. If Eisenhower did it, it's okay, but if a Democrat does it, it's terrible. So that's, yeah, I get it. Or you just won't say anything about it at all. And I get that too. So, yes, there are things that we could do in this country that would be tremendous. We could spend trillions of dollars on high-speed rail and run up our debt, which would not be a problem because we would create this system that would be unbelievable. And on top of it, all these people who would go to work would be productive. They would pay taxes. It would be fabulous for this country. It would be great. It's a super idea. I know you're not for this. And by the way, the price caps in Nixon in 1971 was a whole different ball game. And I've already said that I've got reservations about putting these price caps on anyway, because I don't think they're such a great idea. But I do think that if you go out and look for people who are gouging, that would be okay, for sure. And there are examples of it. And I gave an example here in St. Louis where CVS in Target is charging $3.50 per item less for the exact same item that you can buy in a freestanding CVS store right down the street. It's gouging. Kamala Harris wants to stop it. And she should. Why should you pay $9 right here, and then a mile down the street for the same item, pay $6. Probably not fair. So we should fix that. As far as widespread price caps, that isn't what she's talking about. And the next thing you'll be doing is pointing to Harry Truman in the steel industry. I mean, look, you can find examples of all kinds of things and then twist them into a pretzel to make them look like something that they're not. And that's what you're doing. So, okay, you can try that. But at any rate, I will say that tonight is going to be another outstanding evening of speeches for the Democratic Party. And I do believe that Bill Clinton, and then, of course, Pete Buttigieg, he'll be there, too. They're going to make some great speeches tonight, and I think you ought to listen. You might learn something. These are people who know what they're talking about. And by the way, let's not forget this. the best speech at the entire convention, according to some people, was AOC. I know they call her a communist and they throw out all kinds of insults because she's a minority and whatever else they can say bad about her, they despise her, including that she's nothing but a bartender. Now, she laughs at that and tells you that she was a bartender because the truth is she ain't no bartender. Really. AOC is brilliant. Her speech at the convention, according to people at the convention, brought the greatest applause of anybody. She was really outstanding. Go listen to it again. You can go find it on YouTube. It's probably 30 minutes. It was shorter than everybody else's. It was really great. And you watch. In 2032, she will run for president, I believe. And by the way, Greg, she did go to college. She went to Boston University, one of the best schools in the United States. And she was a top student at Boston University. Go look it up. This talk about how she didn't go to college is nonsense. That's because they want to say she was nothing but a bartender. No. She went to Boston University, and she studied afterwards under Ted Kennedy and became the incredible political athlete that she is today. There's a reason that she's become the star of the Democratic Party. This is one amazing lady. But I guess that misogyny piece that comes out of the Donald Trump group, I guess it's sort of overwhelming you. Oh, no, go check, because I know what I'm talking about. She went to Boston University, and she studied under Ted Kennedy, and all that joke stuff about her being a bartender was just a bartender while she was working her way through the university. See, over on Earth 2, you guys listen to things. Yeah, it's a problem. That's common over on Earth 2. Just like Kellyanne Conway said, alternative facts. The only problem with alternative facts is there are no alternative facts. There are facts and lies. And really, in the age of Trump, you can't call them misstatements. You've got to call them lies. Because really, as I played for you earlier, right at the beginning of all of this. And by the way, I'll talk about RFK tomorrow. That's fine. But no, I was saying at the beginning of all of this, I played a clip, a minute and a half of Donald. Every word out of his mouth was a lie. And as we go into the last minute of the show, let's go right back to the beginning. I don't want to play that again. That's not what I want to do. But what I want to say is this. Go find me one person whose spouse sent them off to the store to get a loaf of bread and they were raped. Find me one. Really, find me a name. I'd love to bring them on the air. That'd be wonderful. Listen, this is brought to you by Wendy's, the St. Louis Suit Company, and Jules on Hampton. And remember, this is Showdown, and I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.